The gospel accounts of the institution of what we refer to as the Lord's table are recorded for us in Matthew 26, 26 to 28, Mark 14, 22 to 24, Luke 22, 19 and 20, where we specifically find those words where the Lord Jesus took the bread and he broke it and he taught his disciples, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken or given for you." And then he took the cup and he said, "Take this cup and you do this. This cup is the New Testament in my blood." John records the incident in John chapter 13 about the upper room that last night before Jesus went out to Gethsemane to be betrayed by one of his own disciples, Judas, but John does not actually record for us those words. That's why I didn't give the reference in John 13. And then we have the very familiar record of it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verses 23 through 25. And once again, even there, we find where it's specifically mentioned that he took the bread, he broke it, told them to take it, eat it in remembrance of him, and he gave the cup. That account in 1 Corinthians 11 tells us, "I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you," that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, all of the Gospels record for us that it was at that table that night that Jesus said, "One of you is going to betray me." And so it was that night. This was obviously, it was a very surprising context that night when Jesus instituted this. It was a surprise context to his disciples who sat there with him. Jesus knew fully well what was going on, because man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on our hearts. And it was the Father's plan that one of his own would be betraying him, but his disciples didn't know about it until the night that he was betrayed, when Jesus told them that one of you will betray me. Not only was it a surprising time for them, but it was a time of great sorrow, the Gospels record for us. We don't think of that in our observance of it as a time of sorrow, but that was certainly in the context of it. We find that Paul in 1 Corinthians talks about how that this ought to be a very solemn time when we gather in remembrance of him, because he had said, "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show," or you are proclaiming, you're preaching a message. You're preaching, you're proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. So we need to keep in mind that what we will be observing here, this is not just a ritual. We refer to it here as one of the ordinances that the New Testament churches are instructed to follow until the Lord returns again. The other ordinance that we believe the Lord has given the church is that of water baptism. And we are to do that as well. Baptizing in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, making disciples of the Lord. Well, we find it was a surprise to the disciples. It was a time of sorrow. It was to be a time of great searching as well. Where do we get that? Because the Lord, through Paul, said, don't forget that as long as you do this, you're showing the Lord's death till he comes. So we are to be continuing this until he comes again for us. So we at our church, there is no chapter and verse which says a church must do this the first Sunday of the month. We've just chosen that as our time of observing it. Actually, it seems the New Testament record, each time believers would gather together, it seems to indicate that they would remember what the Lord had done for them and observe that. We've told you before, I have heard oftentimes of missionaries that because of the distance where missionaries of different, in different fields, maybe it's the same sending mission, but they are scattered so far out in a country or two. They only have the opportunity to gather together maybe once a year with all of the other missionaries. And this is always a special time for them as they, once a year with the other missionaries, observe this. So we do it once a month. And we used to always do it, I think, in the morning, wasn't it, dear? Was it always in the evening when we came? When? Oh, I thought we started that after we got here, back and forth, to help those that worked evenings or mornings and never would have a chance. Anyway, we do rotate back and forth. 1 month we have it in the morning, 1 month we have it in the evening. And it does seem to help those that have different work schedules. And we find that it is to be a searching time. And in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul said, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily or in a manner that is unworthy, without respect, or just lightheartedly, and not really understanding its significance and what it is and what it means. He says you need to be careful, because if you approach this in a lighthearted, flippant manner, oh good, just a chance to nibble on a little bread and drink a little sip of grape juice, oh good, sort of a thing. He says you're guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. And he says, but let a man examine himself. In other words, each and every one of us, as we approach the Lord's table, we are to search our own hearts. Is this special to me? Is my heart right before the Lord? So it is to be a searching time. It is to be a very special time. One of the things, though, that as I've searched the scriptures, I have discovered that in the instruction that God gave us and in the record of how they observed it, there was no mention of musical instruments being used during the communion service. They had musical instruments in those days. But why do I say that, and why did I send the organist and the pianist to their seats this evening? Some of you know my wife has been in extreme pain all day today with her right shoulder blade, and you've watched her and you've thought to yourself, boy, she's all humped over like she's a little old lady as she is walking around today. It's because the pain has been so bad. And I said, they would understand. I told her that this morning. They would understand if you can't play. And they will understand this evening. And I searched, and I don't find that they had musical instruments accompanying them every time they gathered around for the Lord's table. And so we're going to do something different this evening. We're not going to have musical instruments. Maybe we'll use the instruments that God gave us, our own voices. And I kind of think that's what they pretty much used, those early believers, as they gathered in homes, as they gathered at riversides or wherever. It's kind of hard to take a grand piano, and they didn't have electricity for organs to go to river banks and things like that. In recent messages in the morning in the book of Romans, my heart has been especially blessed as I have not only spent those hours and hours of preparation before I stood before you, but then to be able to share with you the truth of our blessed union with our Lord Jesus Christ. And it has been spelled out so clearly in Romans 6 and 7, especially, how that we in Christ died unto sin. Because he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. When he died unto sin, we died with him. And sin lost its power over us. Praise God for that union that is ours. I'm going to be asking you, if any of you would like to share in a few minutes, what the Lord did through his death, burial, and resurrection, what that especially means to you. As we think about the freedom from sin, I don't have to serve sin anymore. You don't, if you know the Lord as your own personal Savior. We especially saw that in Romans 6. This morning in Romans chapter 7, we saw through our union with Christ, I am free now from the dominion of what? See if you were listening. Huh? The law. We died to the law in Christ. You say, well, I never was under the law anyway because I'm a Gentile, and that was only for the Jews. Well, the whole principle, yes, it was specifically given to the Jewish people, but we know that the effect of that, we all, Jew, Gentile alike, and many times people have the mentality, if I'm going to have a right relationship with God, I better try to do what it says in the Word. Is there anything wrong with that? Not for the believer, but if that's what your intention is, to try to establish a right relationship with God, I've got news for you. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to his mercy he saved us. And Paul said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves or works. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we've seen in Romans 6 and 7 this glorious deliverance that's ours because of our being in Christ as a believer. And so we're going to read through some songs this evening that speak so clearly of that union. And yet I want to give you opportunity. Maybe there's somebody that you too have been so recently blessed by God's word, not by my word, My word doesn't have any blessing with it. It's God's word and the truth of it. And you would like to just share what Christ's work in your behalf means to you. We sang, and I specifically picked this out, "Tell me the old, old story." There's nothing new, but the old story gets better the more we hear it, because it's true. Anyone with your hand, just say, I have something I'd like to share. Anyone, anywhere. Dick, I need a microphone up here, please.
I've been thinking a lot lately about what Christ went through on the cross for me. And the physical part of it was, yes, it was horrible to have the nails driven through his hands and his feet. What a horrible pain that must have been. And then when they dropped the cross into the hole and when it was jarred like that, the pain that he must have gone through. But the real pain came when the Father turned his back on the Lord Jesus Christ when he was making the payment for our sin. Mm-hmm. And to realize that I was part of that really humbles me and makes me thankful all over again for what he did for me.
That's right. It was my sin that the Father was turning away from. It wasn't anything his Son had done. He was buried. The scripture says he became sin for us. And the Father could have no fellowship with sin. Anyone else?
I wanted to say that he freed me from sin when he died, when they put him on the cross.
He freed me from sin when they put him on the cross. All right. Wanted to make sure I was hearing. Anyone else? And we'll give you a chance later on, maybe right now. Take your songbooks, and I want to read one of the songs that the Lord put on my heart that I wanted us to share this evening. It's 371 in your songbook. In conjunction with Romans 6 and Romans 7, and the positional truth, what is actually true because of the Lord Jesus Christ. 371. We don't do this very often, just like we don't have communion services without musical instruments. We're not reading in different versions, so let's read the words together in unison, just the three verses, not the chorus, okay? Let's start. Free from the law, O happy condition. Jesus hath bled, and there is remission. Cursed by the law and bruised by the fall, Christ hath redeemed us once for all. Now we are free, there's no condemnation. Jesus provides a perfect salvation. Come unto me, oh, hear his sweet call. Christ saves us once for all. Children of God, oh, glorious calling. Surely his grace will keep us from falling. Passing from death to life at his call, blessed salvation. Once for all. Then the chorus. Once for all, O sinner, receive it. Once for all, O brother, believe it. Cling to the cross, the burden will fall. Christ hath redeemed us once for all. What glorious words as this songwriter started out. Free from the law, O happy condition. Jesus hath bled and there is remission. There we are, Romans chapter 7. free from the law. It does not have dominion over us, because in Christ we died unto the law. Just like we saw, a wife is bound to her husband by law until the death of her husband, and then she's freed. She is free. We died to the law in and through our blessed Savior. What a glorious truth. Another testimony, anyone? In the back, Judson.
Romans 6:11 says, "Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." When I was up north at the beginning, when I first started up there, Brother Aaron asked us, what is your one thing that would change everything? And he said, you know, the obvious answer would be God or Christ or something like that. But he said, really think about it. And what is your one thing that if you didn't have would really change everything? And I thought about it for years, and I would find an answer and say, okay, that's it. But then a little while later, I'd be like, wait, no, it's the love of God. No, it's the cross. But really, it's the blood. And the fact that even if I was the only person on earth, he still would have gone through all that for me. So.
All right. Anyone else? Number 349 in your songbooks, and let's read that one. Once again, let's just read the verses before we read the chorus. Because of the sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ, and because of the glorious truths that Paul has been teaching us, that we are so identified with Christ that in God's eyes, when Christ died unto sin, Romans 6, we died with him. When he was buried, Romans 6, we were buried with him. When he was raised in newness of life, Romans chapter 6, we were raised with him, which means that where are we positionally at this instant? We are seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. That blows your mind. But positionally, the believer already is at the right hand of the Father, through the Son and in the Son. What a full and complete salvation is ours. So we see these words, complete in thee, no work of mine, may take, dear Lord, the place of thine. Thy blood hath pardon bought for me, and I am now complete in thee. Complete in thee, no more shall sin, thy grace hath conquered, reign within. Thy voice shall bid the tempter flee, and I shall stand complete in thee. Complete in thee, each want supplied, and no good thing to me denied. Since thou my portion, Lord, wilt be, I ask no more, complete in thee. Dear Savior, when before thy bar all tribes and tongues assembled are, among thy chosen will I be, thy right hand complete in thee. Yea, justified, declared righteous, O blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardon bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus our Lord. And that's going to be the last one that we're going to be looking at in a few moments. I just thought of something as we were reading this, an announcement I failed to mention, and that is be in prayer, especially for Betty Lomerand. Mark called just before the service began, said they had gotten a call that they had given Betty some kind of antibiotic to treat this urinary tract infection. She was having a bad reaction to that, and they were going to be with her. So remember the Lamorans as they're going through a difficult time even this evening. Another testimony, if there is someone else. Judson, I think you've got it right there.
Just the words from both songs really emphasize how perfect, how complete Christ is to be that the Lamb, that sacrifice for us. The song before painted the picture that we can't do anything, and this one does too. No work of mine can take the place of His. And the despair that brings, and then you flip it right around where He is the perfect sacrifice to take that place, and because of that, now we're free. And just that complete, like I said, swap from despair to thank you, Lord, that hits.
It's great, isn't it?
Amen.
Someone else. When we stop and think about even what Judson said, to stop and think that He would do that for me. Emily's testimony. The thing that means so much is to realize that if I was the only sinner, Christ still would have come and given His life for me so that I could be saved. I think that's spoken so well in number 356. And the title of that is Only a Sinner Saved by Grace. Let's do the same as we've done in the others. Not have I gotten, but what I received. Grace hath bestowed it since I have believed. Boasting excluded, pride I abase. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. Once I was foolish and sin ruled my heart, causing my footsteps from God to depart. Jesus hath found me, happy my case. I now am a sinner saved by grace. Suffer a sinner whose heart overflows, loving his Savior to tell what he knows. Once more to tell it, would I embrace? I'm only a sinner saved by grace. Only a sinner saved by grace. Only a sinner saved by grace. This is my story. To God be the glory. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. Can you top that? I don't think we can. Someone else who wants to share a word of testimony. Okay.
When my dog died, I was sad at my grandma's, and I was sitting on the couch, and I'm crying and telling my grandma.
Okay.
This just really makes me stop and think about the time that I spent in the Catholic Church. Every week having to do the same thing over and over and say the same prayers, and what a difference life is to know that it only was once that He did it and that it was personalized for each one of us is so hard to comprehend. I'm just totally grateful.
It's kind of like words can't express it. What's ours in Christ? Anyone else that has a word of testimony that you would like to share at this time? Turn with me to 279. once again, pay attention to the words, his robes for mine. 279. His robes for mine, O wonderful exchange. Clothed in my sin, Christ suffered neath God's rage. Draped in his righteousness, I'm justified. In Christ I live, for in my place he died. His robes for mine, what cause have I for dread? God's daunting law, Christ mastered in my stead. Faultless I stand, with righteous works not mine, saved by my Lord's vicarious death and life. His robes for mine, God's justice is appeased. Jesus is crushed, and thus the Father's pleased. Christ drank God's wrath on sin, then cried, 'Tis done. Sin's wage is paid. Propitiation won. His robes for mine, such anguish none can know. Christ, God's beloved, condemned as though his foe. He, as though I, accursed and left alone. I, as though him, embraced and welcomed home. I cling to Christ and marvel at the cross, Jesus forsaken, God's strange from, bought by such love, my life is not my own, my praise, my all, shall be for Christ alone. One last time, is there anyone else, before we actually move on into the communion service, that wanted to just thank the Lord and share a word of testimony of what you're thankful for and what Christ means to you? All right, thank you, Judson, for being ready with that. And now, take your songbooks and turn to number 256. And we are going to sing a cappella, 256. Just that first verse, what a wonderful Savior, and I hope I don't get it started too high or low. Hey, Nick, what's the first starting note?
Well, this one might be a bit high. Let's start
at
A.
Can you start it lower for us? Like that? Huh? There we go. Christ has for sin atonement made. What a wonderful Savior. We are redeemed, the price is paid. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. As the men come forward, let's just sing that chorus again. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord.